Good touch from Clarice LeVion. Back to Spencer. Her left-footed ball headed by Charlie and in!
What's good? Welcome to another episode of Diaspora United. I am Andre Carlisle, and I'm here, of course, with Courtney. Courtney, how are you doing?
Per usual, I'm tired.
The standard answer.
That's a standard answer. Never deviate from the norm.
Yep. CBS, we're killing you. It's all good.
Driving up Stanford, Connecticut, I beef heavy every day.
I do not envy that. We normally do a review, but we're gonna skip the review and all that because we got guests. We got Shea Butter FC in the house. Sky, how are you?
I'm great. I am living very well. Old tall one. It's our skyscraper.
Okay, you starting already. Okay. Let's move it on to Sylv. Sylv, how are you doing?
Today is the longest amount of time I saw my apartment this week. So, yeah, it's been real out here.
Yeah, that's a lot.
A lot of late nights, man.
That doesn't sound pleasant at all.
No. I'm excited to go to sleep tonight. That's all that is.
I love it. We got two very tired people on the podcast bringing the energy. That's how we do it. It's all good. This is going to be a crossover episode. You can listen to whichever. But make sure you listen to both. Shea Butter FC is going to drop an episode. We're going to talk about some other things that are real important. In this episode, we are going to talk about the NWSL table, talking about some games. We might hit some games, but basically this actually might be a bit of a high-level kind of conversation about like what basically the format of the regular season, the playoffs. Like I had some things on my mind. I wrote some things, you know, I kind of want to discuss some things about what it's like. And then we're going to see what's going on, like how everybody else feels about it. And kind of have a conversation about that. Cause I think it's interesting. And then after that, we're going to take a little break and then get to a new segment that we got where we're going to talk about the USSF investigation, and also the E60 investigation, doc that's dropping called Truth Be Told. We're going to kind of get into some heavier stuff after the break. But first, let's just do it. Let's get right into the NWSL conversation. Let me do a quick table rundown because as we speak, this is the table. Portland Thorns took the top, 35 points. The Wave, 34 points. OL Reign in third, 34 points too. Goal differential between those two is 3 goals, by the way. So, yeah, OL Reign is not that far behind. Fourth place, Houston Dash, 33 points. Kansas City also on 33 points. Kansas City still rocking a negative goal differential, which is just hilarious. And then you got Chicago with 30 points. Angel City with 29. North Carolina with 28. And then you got the bottom of the table, which is whack. So
we're not talking about it.
Yeah, we're not going to get into it. Me and Courtney are hurting. We've been hurting all season. It's fine. We'll be all right. So I think like, my question just like overall about this, because, you know, American sports, the way we do things, we have a playoffs. That's what we do. We do playoffs because they're a big deal. We think that's the best way to get a champion when really like mathematically, especially when you're not doing a series, it's really not. So like, how do y'all feel about it? Like the regular season, the Shield, and then the playoffs afterwards. You know what? I'm gonna start with Sills. What do you think about like the current way the NWSL is set up to give its trophies at the end of the season?
Okay. So caveat, I am a sports fan in America because this is where I was born and raised. Mm-hmm. So yes, the playoffs have some appeal to me. Mm-hmm. I do think the Shield is the best way of a bunch of not great ways to measure a champion because you do have to win enough against your competition. And everybody plays home and away at this point with the number of teams that we have. If you want to do a postseason, make it a cup competition or like a Euro style thing where there's a home and an away leg. That's also more football though. So I don't know what that looks like. I do know that we can get rid of the Challenge Cup, especially if it's going to be in the preseason. I know your feelings on it. I don't disagree. But I do think the Shield should matter and should probably be the biggest trophy. But I also think there's money to be made in the playoffs, and they're really entertaining. And I don't know. I don't know how you still incorporate that. Maybe a cup competition of some sort.
I know how.
Okay.
Oh,
you got to do it. You got to do how the Bundesliga does it, because, well, you get like, so you get, you know, the shield at the top, or, you know, your big title, and you get your big title race. But then for the bottom teams, I mean, obviously you'd have to get promotion relegation.
But like that, opening up a whole can.
I know.
A whole can.
But like that, those games though are super fun, and they're kind of like, you know, serious. So you kind of get that. You still get that same feeling of like they're really big stakes, and like you're trying to do it to, you know, save your season, while you still prioritize the actual course, like the majority of the season. Because for me, like, while I did grow up here, I grew up mostly watching soccer, and then while the Giants were good, I was like kind of into that because I was like really into the Super Bowl, but didn't actually pay attention to the rest of American football. So it's like, I don't know. I feel like there's got to be a way to find balance in between the two.
Sky, and
can't do it March Madness style. So
yeah. That, oof. Yeah.
What do you mean? Like in terms of the playoffs and like valuing?
Yeah. Just like how it's like, what would you like, what are your thoughts on it? I have an idea in my head that I want to float by y'all.
Commissioner Andre.
Wait, hold on. Yeah, Commissioner. let's see. I say there needs to be more value in the shield for the gauntlet you have to go through.
Yep.
But it would be nice to have smaller cup competitions because you do have international breaks where people are gone from teams. So, like, stuff to highlight the players in the league. Mm-hmm. But then also to... how do I say this? But also to then take away the Challenge Cup and move it somewhere that's not preseason so that 50 billion people aren't hurt. So we don't have mad chaos. More chaos than usual, as in expansion teams are hopping and in theory should be at the top of the table. But more so what we were seeing is who's the healthiest is going to win the trophy. So, yeah.
Yeah, so that and for that reason, like I like the Challenge Cup because it, you know, they got to mess around with it because there's a lot of talent that and they need to expand rosters too, because there's a lot of talent that we could get on a pitch, you know, in professional like level competition through something like a Challenge Cup. But the problem is, when do you have time for that? You know, when you got teams together and you got your strongest teams, you really need to be focusing them on the regular season because that's, you know, the best measurement we got for stacking up all the teams. I just like. Okay, so I look at it like this. Like, everybody knows, like, the soccer thing. Like, wins 3 losses, draws 1 point. Wins 3 points, lost no points, draw 1 point. That's a weighted regular season. Nobody else does that, like, in typical American sports. And right now, the playoffs are set up like the NFL, who doesn't weight their wins and losses. It's really just for seeding. And so then they go into single elimination, and we do the same thing. And I don't think that's accurate because we already have a system of measurement in place. So... But I would like, and by the way, I was looking at like the table the past couple weeks because I know like on recent podcast, Courtney has been like, there's not a whole lot of like the top six of the top six. And it's like, yeah, but the top six like is moving around a lot, which is kind of wild, even though, you know, Portland got back to the top. So maybe it looks a little less crazy. But over the weekend, Kansas City was on top for a minute. Houston was on top for a minute. San Diego was on top for a minute.
Briefly yesterday.
Yeah, so it's like that's happening, and I feel like if this was a genuine title race, this would be bonkers. Like, it would be really, really fun. We still need like Portland to drop some points for it to get really, really crazy with 2 weeks left. But still, I think it's been a really good season. If we're looking at this as like the penultimate, you know, competition, it'd be cool. So like, I'm looking at it like, okay, that's how we do it. But hear me out. Here's my suggestion. Because I don't think you are correct, Sills. I don't think you can get away from like a playoff style format in this country. Like, that's what we need. That's how we process things. Even though for me, it just like it's whoever is healthy through the playoffs or remains like the hottest team seems to get through and win. Like, you know, back when I paid attention to the NFL, Courtney was talking about the Giants when they beat, what was it, the undefeated Patriots.
Mm-hmm. Great time of my life. Great time.
Exactly.
I mean, great time in my life. But it was, yeah.
Exactly. But when you look at that, you're like, should that have really happened? Were the Giants really better? It depends, right? You have a whole season to try to figure out who the best team is.
Put some respect on that new Gotham owner. Mr. Eli Manning.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about your new owner. But so I think just like the playoffs, I do think, though, that we can do a cup competition postseason. And that's how we should approach it. Like everybody, almost like a Champions League competition. You know, you get players, you got teams to, I think six is probably too many for this. You probably need to do four. But I think you get teams to qualify for the postseason cup competition. And then Sills, I like your idea to play like home and away. And then you go home and away and you try to figure out, then you kind of go through the teams and figure out who's, you know, you start with two semifinals, you get to a final. And then that's it, and that's who lives the cup.
Here's my question about the home and away leg. You do the away goal rule?
Oh, I do. But I don't even know, like, I like it just because I like what it means, like the impetus behind it. But I don't think you really need to do that in the NWSL.
Yeah, sure.
Because there ain't too many teams to sit back.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't really do the two banks of four thing. There ain't too many teams that play like that, especially the top level team, so... I would have it, but I wouldn't. I would just kind of have it as like a thing because I respect what it tries to do. But I don't think we need it.
No.
But so is that basically like old school MLS championships?
Oh, I have no idea.
Because there was a time.
Yeah.
To be fair, I only remember. I mean, my memory of the MLS for some reason has a ridiculous amount of recency bias. But I remember, I think it might have been, I think it was 2019. They got away with a home and away because they used to have it, I guess, for their maybe all of the legs of once you get to the ML, like once you get to their championship style. But then the games became dull and boring. Now I will say, and then because they got rid of that rule, I feel like that first round of playoffs, like let's say there was eight games or something, like seven of them ended up 4-3 games, so it's like it was a lot of fun. Like every time you just turn on a game, it was like no defense, all vibes. But I also don't think, I think what also made that boring was that there were so many teams and so many home and away legs, as opposed to like if you have four teams, do you have a max of what, quick maths, like 10 games, 12?
Mm-hmm. I don't do math after Sunday.
13 maybe. I think it might be 13.
13.
I don't know.
It's
an even number.
It's like you have a home and away leg for four.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, we're not double. It's actually, I think it's seven. Not that I think about it. But yeah, I think, I don't know. I'd be interested. It's much more interesting. I mean, I still think that NWSL should implement the Challenge Cup as a year-long competition, like an FA Cup style. Been saying that for a long time. I think it could be really fun. Does that involve a lot of the NWSL getting ahead of itself scheduling-wise? Yes.
What?
Is that going to happen? Probably not. Not in the near future. But I do think that is something that's fun because while you're talking about it and the difference between, like, I don't know, I immediately thought of England. And, like, what I think makes the cup, like, how they have a good balance. And I feel like, to be fair, I think a lot of teams in Europe have a good balance of, or, like, European leagues have a good balance of this. But it's actually the monetary difference that I think puts pressure on both competitions because it's like cup competition. I love saying like the magic of the cup. All I think about is when Tottenham almost gets knocked out and then it makes me laugh by some like random fourth tier team. But the actual monetary difference between the two is like insane. Like you win well over £100 million for winning the Premier League, but you only win if you go through all the rounds as a Premier League team. I think you win like around £4.5 million.
Yeah.
For the cup competition. So I feel like there needs to be a better balance, maybe monetarily, of like to make that race to win the shield. And I also feel like it's different calling it a shield because you can't call them NWSL champions.
Yeah.
Even though in theory they kind of are they won the league.
Right.
So I feel like also there needs to be like a change of name of like.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that would need to, you know what? And I also think like, you know, we were talking, you know, before we started recording, we were talking about Jaden Shaw and me being big sad that she's, you know, with San Diego and not Washington. But I do think like they need, this is, I realize I'm living in a fantasy world at the moment. All right. I'm going to say that off the top because I know the NWSL is not going to move this fast. And if they do move, there ain't no guarantee they're going to move in this direction. In fact, their history dictates that they ain't going to do it anyway. But I do think that like there you need to reward teams for developing talent. to, you know, putting some effort into scouting, to development, that kind of thing. So I would be cool with, because the thing that I think messed up the Challenge Cup, of course, was the scheduling, but then also some teams didn't know how to approach it. Some teams approached it like, we're going to win it. We're putting out our starting 11 no matter what. And some teams were like, we're going to bring some other players in and try to get a look at them or get them some experience. And like, I think that you have to be able, like you, the thing that makes the magic of the cup, that magic part of it, is that you have teams who have players who aren't like at the top tier, like no names yet, who do end up doing something incredible versus like a top team or doing something incredible in the tournament, scoring a great goal or goal line clearance or whatever it is, or goalkeeper who gets hot. It doesn't matter. And I think like it would be cool if the Challenge Cup for like the first few rounds was like, I don't know, like under 23. Or like you had to use a certain number of like academy players or something like that, just in order to be like, this is like a separate cup. There is some money attached to it, but it does incentivize some other teams to be able to like every team to be able to build their own product. Now, of course, there are some cheap ass teams. There's some teams that don't want no part of building up anything homegrown. So that is the other problem. You got some that are stuck in the mud and ain't going to do this. And of course, you got the NWSL rules that won't allow them. But if I was like, if I had my way, I think that would be a cool way to do it, because you get introduced to a lot of younger talent and a lot of newer talent. And then teams are rewarded for that progress. And then you move on towards the later rounds. I don't know. What y'all think?
No, I like it. And I think it'd be really interesting once, is it the USLW? And I think there's two leagues coming, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sort of get established and hopefully you're able to stick. Because we could have a true cup competition. And I'm telling you right now, some NWSL teams are going to get their feelings hurt. There's some real talent in those leagues. Yeah,
I do feel like the only problem with those leagues are, though, is that I know that the USLW is now trying to get year-round things, but I know that, for example, for so many college players, they, like, mm-hmm. come in, play for 3 months, but then go back to school. So it's like... Yeah. You also kind of have to find that balance between, like, you know, if you're just having a bunch of college players.
And are they fully pro or semi-pro?
I think they're semi-pro. They probably they can't get paid. Well,
yeah.
They might be able to get paid now because of NIL.
Mm,
that's
a good point. Maybe. But they can get money.
Liz, when you hear this, you can break it down for us. Thank you.
Yeah, it's like... yeah, that sounds complicated at least.
Yeah.
No, but I do think especially women's soccer as a whole in this country would really benefit from a good cup competition.
Yeah. Sky, where you at on it?
We need a cup competition. Just figure it out.
just figure it out.
Home and away. All of the day. But I mean, having something in between would help break up, because I mean you're always gonna, I mean, unless the NWSL decides to get itself together, you're always going to have people leaving during international breaks. You're going to have the long season. It's something cool to add. But most importantly, I mean, to help keep players healthy before the beginning of the season, you know, having a different competition in season will go a long way. So.
Yeah, I mean, it could even be a thing where, like, the first, I don't know, let's say we're going in rounds, or like the group stages or something, like the first few, let's say like three group stage games are during international breaks. But then as the season goes on, those are in like, you know, either like midweek windows or even like a weekend window or something like that. Because I will say having gone to a game during an international break, one, it's just kind of like the vibes are different because we're like, your strongest players aren't here.
Yeah,
and also if your strongest players aren't there, it like might change crowd dynamics and things like that. So I feel like there should probably be a balance between the two.
Yeah,
definitely. All right, but I appreciate y'all letting me live out like workshop it and live out the fantasy. I do want to see change. I don't think we can keep doing it the way that we're doing it. I mean, we probably will, but I just think it's unfair to do it the way that we're doing it.
We're not
it
the NFL.
Exactly. We don't reward teams in like single elimination. That's not the way to do it to determine a champion when we already weight wins and losses. Just if you're going to do that, then don't weight wins and losses. Just make it wins and losses. And that's it. I mean,
also, don't you mean the NFL?
Oh no!
No.
I don't know how none of y'all saw it on my face, but I was literally about to say that as soon as you mentioned the NFL.
I saw you laughing, but I didn't know where you're gonna go with it. Oh, wow! Yeah, the least amount of effort, it was something to everybody should expect from that damn league. So yeah, I appreciate y'all going through this with me, little just like thought experiment or whatever. I do hope that we get some change, but we live in a real world. It's a worse place. I'm just gonna straight up and say it is, but it's what we got to deal with. So you know what? I want predictions. I want predictions from the Shield winner. I want the champ, exactly, because you're hearing, because I can make it. I can make this happen because I'm talking on a microphone and I can just straight up ask you. So this is what we gonna do. Oh, Courtney even added a new one. Okay, we want to know who you think is going to get that last playoff spot. Like, who's going to be in the playoffs? I want to know the Shield winner, and I want to know the playoff champion.
Why you got to do all that?
I was just going to do two. Courtney added another one. But okay, who wants to go first? Raise your hand high.
It makes it easy for yourself if you decide who's going to be in the playoffs and then choose a Shield winner and a champion from there. Makes life easier. I will go first in the playoff round.
Okay.
I think for the playoffs, it's keeping the tune that I've kept all season. And it's going to be the current top six that are in it. They have not changed. The top six has not changed. Now, we are on we had 20 matches played, and it has not changed since match week 10 or match day 10. Part of that is the NWSL being the NWSL, but I do think that, I just think that top six is going to stay. And also the teams that I thought could potentially drop out of the top six have not yet, and they have two games left. And I think the road to success for those, for like Angel City and North Carolina, is tougher because it's not only that, it's like you have to have more than one result go your way. Like, thinking, okay, we need to win these two games, and we're hoping that someone else drops points. You know what I'm saying? Like, to me, that path is harder, which is why I think the top six is going to stay as the top six. So that's
here's the thing that messes things, that could mess things
play
up.
Play each other.
It's really on, right. It's really up to that Chicago-Portland game. Yeah. If Portland takes points from them, Angel City and Chicago play in the last game of the season, the very last game of the season. I need that game to be for a playoff spot. That would be so dope.
It would be. I just don't think it's going to happen.
You think they're going to beat Portland?
You think Chicago beats Portland?
No, I'm saying I don't think. Sorry, I should have rephrased.
No, sincerely, I think I'm with Andre on that. Like, it definitely depends on that result.
Yeah.
So, well, the reason why. Oh, God. Wait, what just happened? Oh, sorry. I'm looking at the standings right now on my phone.
Yeah.
The reason why I don't think Angel City get in is because I think Chicago beats them. And I would love for Gotham to beat North Carolina and just like dess it. Mm-hmm. Literally turn it up in Jersey. But I'm assuming that Angel City beats Angel City beats Racing and North Carolina beats Gotham. That means it's the last game of the season for both of those teams. And I think Chicago beats Angel City, and I think San Diego beats North Carolina.
Okay.
So that top six is going to stay at top
six. So you do have that game mattering. You just already have the victor in your mind as like Chicago beating Angel City. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think San Diego beats North Carolina.
Ooh.
I think North Carolina is the better team.
Yep.
Especially if they get Ordóñez and Guillermo back.
Well, yeah. I agree. I think they're a better team. I think San Diego is probably better coached.
Yes, that's true.
So it's like, will Casey Stoney outcoach Sean Nahas? I mean, that's true too. But it's like, can Casey Stoney set up her team and outcoach Sean Nahas? Yes. And while...
That first game? 1-0, right? The game was only 1-0.
The only reason I say no to that is because if Angel City had a scorer, they would have beat San Diego.
Yeah. They got outplayed.
Yeah. So North Carolina has the scorers to actually cause problems for San Diego.
But North Carolina's defense is not as good as Angel City's defense. I will say that.
Yeah, but if you're just on a mission to just shoot, baby, shoot.
But it's like, yes, shooting, but also you have Kaylin Sheridan, who's in very good form right now. And when she gets in crazy form, it is very hard to score against her. And as long as San Diego does not play Pogarsh, who kind of did not have the best game against Washington, but also in that game, I mean, I called it for chaos. It's like the Spirit needed a 90, like the latest goal ever scored in NWSL season history. And yeah. San Diego came back in that game and made it 3-3. That third goal have happened if it was a proper call? No, but do I think San Diego probably still would have scored again? Yes.
It's quite possible.
I will say that I agree with you that San Diego would have scored, but I think that's more because of the Spirit, not San Diego.
Right.
The Spirit were doing that weird thing that they had been doing all season where they just drop off and invite pressure for like the last 20, 30 minutes of a game. And that to me was like, we were sitting in the press box like, they're going to score. We didn't know how it was going to happen, and we hated how it happened. But even before that, we were like, this looks like it's going to become a tie game because the Spirit do that thing. So I think, like, yeah, San Diego can always get a goal. You know, they like to get in the box. They increase the opportunity of them being able to get fouled, get penalties. And now you got Jaden Shaw making those runs, which are really hard to mark. So, like, I do back them in terms of being able to score goals, but I do think that's a fascinating matchup.
I also think North Carolina is one of the few teams where San Diego doesn't have a full height advantage. And I actually think that matters. Like, I think that in terms of height, North Carolina, for the most part, can match them. I'm really just talking about Ordóñez on Corniak. That's really what I'm talking about.
But even then, Dabinia is Dabinia. Caroline is Caroline.
I have not seen a team effectively shut them down together yet.
Yeah, they're it's a
they
lot
shut
for
themselves
them.
Down.
Yeah, they they get in their own way. Like, I don't know. San Diego doesn't have enough people. You let Tegan go. Naomi can't cover all of them at the same time. So
Tegan covered Naomi very well. I'm like, no learning curve. They played together. Just saying. But yeah, I mean, listen, I think it could absolutely shake out with the six teams now finishing.
Yeah.
I somehow think Chicago drops and one of those two teams jumps them. And that sucks because I predicted Chicago to make the playoffs. I just think that four game stretch, and they got results in the first two games, but I think that's those four games in a row are brutal for them. And they have to go to Portland, right?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Pretty sure they go to Portland.
I think
double checking for you right now.
Yep,
I'm almost positive
that game's in Portland.
So Portland's going to want to win that game because if they do, they're pretty much getting the shield. Like, it would be really hard for anybody to catch them.
Yeah, because I think Portland's last game is against Gotham.
And I think Houston, by the skin of their teeth, I do think OL wins that game this weekend.
Okay. Sky, who you got in making the playoffs?
Making playoffs in the last spot. Whoever wins that last game between Chicago and Angel City.
Okay, you got it coming down to the last game. You know what? I think, I think I do too, just because I want to see it. It ain't got no analysis behind it. I want
to
see it. I just want it. I want to see it. I want to see
the
last game of the season.
That's a legitimate analysis right there.
I mean, part of it is because I think while North Carolina is on a machine roll, you still have Chicago and Angel City. I do think Chicago will drop points probably playing Portland because now that they can get the shield outright like that, they're going to do what they need to do and they can rest people against Gotham in theory. Sadly, I'm sorry, Courtney.
Midge is now healthy and we saw a healthy Midge for the first time this season. And she,
against England, so that's fine.
All I'm saying is she nutmegged Huerta twice and did literally a spin move I've never seen anyone do to get Alana Cook off balance. And she did not score, but I said,
Midge was wild.
I was like, Midge is wild out right now.
Yeah, she was on another level. But it's going to come to that last game. San Diego is going to be interesting anyway. But what's the other question? Who's going to win the shield?
Let's transition then. And since you're looking at it and it's on the top
what is
of your
other top five then? Like if you have the sixth spot, is that
why
top
you gotta
five
do
the
all
same?
That? Yes. It's the same.
Genuine
yeah.
question.
But who's going to win the shield? Probably...
You know who it is. We all know who it is.
She tried hard not to say it.
We all know who it is.
Portland?
Just say it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Portland.
Portland should. I do not want to see San Diego win no shield.
I want
Because I'll never hear it ended.
to have maximum chaos and for all.
I mean,
I would love for all Reign to win the Shield. Actually,
I don't want the Shield.
No, oh yeah, my bad. I'm sorry. Oh yeah, because it's a curse. It's cursed for y'all. Never mind.
We've had the Shield. I don't need it.
What I would like though is if Kansas City fucked around and won, but I don't know if that's possible.
I don't think they have it.
Honestly, yeah, I think many people need to drop points.
What is
Well, fuck it then. Chaos then.
I feel it.
Is it doable?
It's definitely doable. Okay. It just depends on who drops
Portland can have the Shield. I got another answer.
I think Kansas City would have to get 6 points, which would hit them at 39.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so Portland would have to
lose. But they have goal differential. They have so many damn goals.
I was going to say, that's the problem for Kansas City.
If they tie and lose and they're on 36, which means that Casey would like be at 39 or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's no hope. All right.
2 points.
And then who's winning the championship?
Well, hold on.
Oh, my bad.
I'll get back to you.
I'm sorry.
Let's I know you don't want all Reign to have it, but who you think? You think Portland?
The Shield? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Courtney, you?
She's doing math.
She's doing hardcore math right now.
I'm doing a lot of brain thoughts. Portland's goal differential is kind of silly.
It's disturbing.
Yeah, it's just really annoying.
It's them 2 games where they scored 5 in a row.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I'd be fine with that. Like, I just need... Like, I'll be cool with Portland winning the Shield as long as Sophia Smith goes crazy and scores like 5 goals. And he's like I need her in the, I need a golden boot for Sophia Smith. But I that's why I was like, I was sad that, like, I know they beat up on Rossing, but I was like, yo, the only person that need to be scoring goals against this team is Sophia Smith.
They still get Gotham, though.
She got one. Yeah.
Gotham's backline has been a lot better. It's been. Literally, I mean, it has. How many goals? How many goals were they literally getting scored on in the beginning of the season? And now you've had 3 games, or I think they were like 4 games.
But there's midfield,
like 4 goals.
No, I know
it's true. I just saw you about to say something.
It's within like 1 or 2 goals. She's absolutely trucking the fuck out.
If he starts Krieger and Johnson,
yeah.
Yeah. All I'm saying is that, literally, teams—the only goals that outside of the Spirit—the only goals that teams recently have been scoring on Gotham have been penalties.
Yeah. We're also assuming she won't score against Chicago, which I'm not so sure that's true. So,
yeah, I mean, Chicago has some problems. Like, Ebony Salmon does well against Chicago because of the type of forward she is, and I think Sophia Smith can do the same thing. So, and he'd be a little more dangerous because how versatile she is and how her dribbling skill is kind of ridiculous. So, like, yeah, it can definitely happen. So, all right, Courtney, who you got winning the Shield?
She's treating us like an exam.
I know. It's because I can't make up my mind.
Look, I got a comment while you're making up your mind. Look, Sophia might truck people as she's trying to get the golden boot because she can snatch the crown back that was taken from her at the CONCACAF championship.
Yeah, and I would love for her to do that. I just need the ball in the net. That's what I need.
That too. That part too. Times,
I'm here for times. Sophia Smith's supremacy without Portland supremacy. That's really how my life goes right now. Okay.
Sophia Smith and Crystal Dunn and Yasmeen Ryan. That's it.
If Yasmeen likes beaches. Sorry.
Oh my God.
Oh, here we go. Courtney, you got to save us.
I'm going to be chaos and say, oh, well, Reign. Sorry, Sills. That's my final decision. One, because Malpiu likes going on beast mode.
She does.
She has recently been on beast mode. So I think she's going to score against Portland. And they're somehow going to tie that game. I don't feel like thinking about San Diego Wave, so I'm going with the Wolverine because I think they're going to go really ham against Houston. And then they have Orlando.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I think the Chicago-Portland game is going to be a draw as well. But that means I'm looking at San Diego winning the Shield. Even though I wouldn't absolutely love that, I do think it would be wild for an expansion team to win the Shield.
I can get into that.
Yeah.
I don't want to experience it as an Angel City fan because I'll never get the end of that shit.
True story. But all right. So let's then do, okay, real quick. Let's do the last one. Champion, playoffs, going through. You got your tables. You know who's going to play who. Who you got coming away with the whole thing.
We are the champions. Oh, well, Reign.
Okay.
If they act like they can kick balls into the fucking net.
That's their entire thing. With the ball in the goal. It's where it goes.
other than that, wild card pick would be Kansas City.
Yes. I was going to say my wild card pick is either Kansas City or Chicago. I think one, like, random kind of chaotic games work really well in Chicago's favor, especially with how Malpeau is playing. So, yeah, I'm going to go Team Chaos. Actually, I'm going to go Team Chaos and go Kansas City. I'm going to join Sky on that.
I think Kansas City needs to get a home game. If they get a home game in the first round, then I think they got a good shot.
I was like, AD goes crazy.
I just think they need to start AD. I feel like that's their only issue.
I mean, that game also would have looked very differently if they that Chicago game would have looked very different.
Right. We'll talk about it later, but she was being honored.
I was mad about that.
Yeah.
Sky, did you have your playoff champion? Oh, you said all rain, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yes. If they put balls in the net.
Yeah. Right.
I think I'm going to go all team wild card.
Okay.
Either Kansas City or Houston. Those are my two.
Audible.
Ooh, that's sexy.
I would love
Kansas City or Houston. That's my team wild cards.
Yeah. Okay.
Watch the two of them play each other in the first round of the playoffs.
So at the beginning of the year, my statement in our little round table thing was, my team is going to play beautiful football and break my heart in the final.
Oh.
Who are they losing to?
Yeah.
Pause. I said at the beginning of the year. I'm going to regret this. Oh, I think we finally do it.
What?
I think OL wins. I think we finally win a championship. Okay.
I mean, you got a dunk on you now, Rose Lavelle. And also...
Defender Rose Lavelle.
Yeah,
I think we're going to be unlocked Rose Lavelle more, which I didn't think anybody could do.
It's been fantastic. Pink Lava, shout out.
Pontius Pilate is out here.
Oh, that's what I was about to say. Pontius Pilate is about to be dropping these crosses, immaculate crosses.
I think sometimes our defense forgets how to clear a ball, but we have very good defenders. God, she made a run yesterday. I was just like, get out of here. Get out of here. I think Fallon's still somehow underrated.
Yeah.
And I think we'll score. Like, I think after that Houston loss, they were like, no more. And listen, sometimes people are just hurt. I'm hard on Pino. She's playing out of her mind right now.
Mm-hmm.
Fislock is rested. I think our depth ends up being what saves us. My wild card pick is
Quinn is coming back too, right?
Yeah, Quinn played yesterday. Mm-hmm. I think they came out like at half.
Yeah.
Or they subbed out for Fishlock, who then shithousery queen that she is. Quinn played yesterday.
Quinn played the majority of the game yesterday.
Oh, then they get subbed out. I think it was Z and Jordan that got subbed out.
Yeah, they did. I did tweet that because
Jordan should have probably been subbed out sooner because I didn't know if her leg was going to work for a while there.
Can't lie. She went back in and it was not really working.
Yeah, I was like, I think we should sit her. I think it's the storybook ending. I think Harv's winning with the OGs. Again, means my team's going to have to make some choices and some players are going to have to make some choices. But
So this is going team narrative, which is always a good team.
I just think, quote unquote, 10-year anniversary. It's time. Like, it's Laura Harvey came back. Like, this is why she came back. And I think she's mad because she absolutely thinks we should have won last year. She went younger. She's made her speech. She's got her depth. Promise. I don't want to talk about it. I was there for that. It still hurts.
It shouldn't have happened.
So we don't have that. All love to Sarah B, but she's not here anymore.
She's still alive on this planet. She just doesn't play for a whole team. Wait, she's not here anymore. She's not on this. She's ascended to the ancestral.
Right. I'm like, damn.
Well, after that Sanchez goal, yes, she did.
She's still alive. Just plays for PSG now.
Same thing. That club's a mess. I think we haven't been anybody's favorites for a while, right? Like, we were really inconsistent in the middle of the season. Obviously, we had international players off of international duty. Tobin won us a game. That was worth the money. Mm-hmm. I feel bad for Ukulele. Oh, God, I'm not going to say her name right. Ukulele. who's a national team replacement player, got to stay and then tore her ACL in practice. Sinclair is out. But for the most part, we're healthy. All of the people who were hurt are back. And yeah, I think building that depth matters. And I think on her best day, Laura Harvey's still the best coach in the league.
True.
I feel that. Ish. I feel that.
On her best day. On her best day.
I do think you're right. I think OL Reign like flew under the radar a bit because of that game in hand. Like once they finally won that game and got level on points, they shot up the table and everybody like thought they were in a scrap to even make the playoffs. And they're like, nah, not really. We're good. Yeah. So I do think like
living
I do
off
see
that game in hand. Been right. Off that
yeah.
Game
they were yeah, absolutely. So yeah, I don't know. I kind of want to make a chaos pick, right? I'm kind of with
Houston,
Courtney. Like I'm looking between.
Chaos.
Yeah, I'm really looking at Houston. My only problem with Houston is that I trust Kansas City's defense more than I trust Houston, and that's my thing. I think if somebody's going to be able to shut down a team, especially AD Franch playing out of her mind, like what she did versus Portland was wild.
Kansas City has the better goalkeeper.
Yes.
I would say Houston actually probably has, in terms of structure and stuff, I think Houston probably has a better defense.
I think you just don't know the names, but I would like to say Naughton playing out of her mind.
I was like, Naughton's been playing out of her mind.
A really good season.
True.
I could say the same thing about Ball and Edmonds, though, for Kansas City. And also,
I think Kansas City's like structure is hard to cope with.
It is. And they come back. Like, they don't concede a lot.
Yeah.
And, like, I really did not think they would come back. I didn't think they would come back against Portland. Like, I didn't. Yep. And then they found a way. They always seem to find a way. And I just think the resurgence of some of those players, like Alola Bonta, I think Desi Scott's the most underrated six in the world. Mm-hmm. Or certainly up there. And they can score.
Yep.
And they can score, and they have the bench. Like, they have depth, which is wild to say about a team that lost Sam Hughes and Lynn Williams.
Right.
Like, that's ridiculous. They don't start Elise Bennett, and they kind of don't have to. They should probably sometimes, but they don't have to.
If they want to make their lives easy, they should.
I would.
I got a super insane chaos pick.
Oh, God.
Ooh, let's go. I'm going with Kansas City, by the way.
Because they haven't season-ended injury her. So Angel City is an interesting entity because there's only one team that's giving them problems. And that's Portland.
You got Angel City winning the playoffs?
Whoa. I said, you want chaos. I've told Sills this before. I said the only team that's genuinely given Angel City's issues where they haven't beat themselves in the teams who are going to be in the playoffs is Portland. And that's mostly because people were hurt. Now, this
so
is different. Yeah. Well, but I'm saying, But if you were to have people to just appear because they haven't SEI'd them, that would be interesting. I honestly don't want to be witnessing some of the foolishness, but that would be mass peak chaos.
I
think North Carolina gets in before Angel City gets in, and if North Carolina gets in,
that's not chaotic.
That's the team I wouldn't want to play.
Yeah,
I'd put it that way.
Agreed. Yeah, they'll knock you out.
I agree.
Especially if Ordonez is better, like they needed to give her a rest. If she's better, then they're a real problem. We saw that when she was good, when she wasn't, but before the injury.
And I think sneaky been good for them. Obviously, Pinto's been very good for them.
Yeah.
But putting Ryan Williams on that other side has been really good for them.
She's had a very good season.
Yeah, she's been good. Which
begs the question, why'd you bring back who you brought back? Because you didn't need him. Moving on.
To put her up top.
Listen, or what if
to
for
do
why?
Nothing
to
do
put
nothing.
Her up top what? You could have been playing Ordonez all okay sorry
or you could have
to
been playing Jorian Balcom like
to do nothing
you had Taylor got... never mind okay no yep. no that's another episode
yep. exactly that's another episode we gonna move on
and he still might get away with it my god okay
yeah
that's why
yeah.
I
and yeah, you would have been in the playoffs I'm just saying
next
probably fighting for the shield
All right. Well, they conceded a lot of goals in the beginning.
Yeah, they do. They
oh, yeah, their defense was wild. And I don't even understand what happened there. It's
a shootout. They're in shootouts a lot.
All right, so I appreciate that. Thank y'all for going through that. I know it was tough, but that's what we do sometimes, and I appreciate it. So we're going to take a little quick break, and then we're going to introduce a new segment where we're going to get into stuff that's a little bit heavier. So we'll be right back. All right, so we are back, and this segment, the title may change, I don't know, but what we're going with now is called Going In, and is where basically where we're just going, like, go deep on a subject and talk about it, because y'all know sometimes we get stuck on heated and hype, and we've been talking about that for 45 minutes. So we're going to talk about, we decided to do this so we could have longer conversations. You good?
Wait, can I do the real quick? I'm going in.
Yes, you can.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
No, I appreciate it. So we're going to talk about the U.S. Soccer Federation investigation. I'm going to read the tweet or the statement. They had a press release out that said that last U.S. Soccer update on the Sally Yates investigation. Quote, last October, U.S. Soccer retained Sally Q. Yates of King & Spalding LLP to lead an independent investigation into allegations of abusive behavior and sexual misconduct in women's professional soccer. That investigation is nearing its conclusion. U.S. Soccer will publish the full report by early October following the completion of the investigation. And then today, we also found out that the E60 doc on the investigation between into the NWSL that was teased and then it was pushed back. It has now got an official release date. It says the past year was unlike any, I'm quoting the tweet, the E60 tweet. The past year was unlike any other in the NWSL, and now U.S. Soccer has announced that findings from an independent investigation will soon be released. So clearly they're timing this. Watch E60's Truth Be Told, an in-depth 90-minute investigation premiering October 4th at 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN and ESPN+. So, yeah. And to add to it, the U.S. Women's National Team is actually playing overseas. They're playing two games, October 7th and October 11th. So they'll be playing England on the 7th. We'll see if they're playing that second one. But yeah, they're supposed to play Spain on the 11th, which there's some stuff that I'll probably talk about briefly when we get into it later once more stuff comes out. But we're going to focus on U.S. soccer on this one. So I guess just like overall thoughts on everything that, like, we're probably at most 2 weeks away maybe from the shit really hitting the fan and all this stuff coming out, the investigation. We know October 4th we're gonna see the doc, so like just overall initial thoughts on what might be ahead. I'm gonna start with Sills.
I don't know if that report's really gonna blow the door open or not. Mm-hmm. I think the timing of what is likely the day the report drops and that documentary airing is not coincidence.
Nope.
I'm told U.S. Soccer doesn't have much of an idea of what's in it, but I don't think they think it's great, and I don't think it's a coincidence that they that their broadcast partner, ESPN, is airing that document that day. They could probably make a phone call, particularly because one of those games, again, if we play two, will air on ESPN. I think the documentary will be interesting. I'm interested to see if we actually mention that U.S. Soccer and the NWSL were the same thing through last year, which is always fascinating to me. And like, you are, yeah, but all that stuff happened while U.S. Soccer was running the show and allocation was there and all of this other stuff. And we know, you know, from Molly's second article, because again, Molly could write more than one, with Kristen Press, that she went directly to U.S. Soccer to try to fix the NWSL issue. And so, because they had jurisdiction over it. So I wonder how much that conversation is going to, or that relationship is going to come up, and how much U.S. Soccer tries to sort of absolve themselves of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think it's going to suck. We're going to have to relive some things. I see that the former Spirit coach is still, looks like he's being interviewed. It looks like Lisa Baird's being interviewed. So I think we've had some hard lessons about interviewing coaches this year, or recently fired coaches. And so I think it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. I don't know. I think we're going to find out some things that we don't know. I think there are things we'll never be told. One thing I'd really, really, really like to see, be it on that documentary, be it in the report, and it needs to be done loudly and repeatedly, is if we apologize to no one else, can we apologize to Zakiya Bywaters? I think she's gotten really, really lost in this conversation. And so that's a number one draft pick who stood on it when it wasn't, like, no one else was standing on it. And so she's under no obligation to say anything, but like, I think as a collective WOSO community, we owe her an apology. Yep. And so maybe hopefully that it comes to fruition. But yeah, I don't expect good things. I don't think U.S. Soccer nudges their broadcast partner to air a documentary right when the report drops, if it's great. And I don't have a whole lot of faith that anything will be done about it, because I don't trust any federation to do much about the rot, as I call it. So, yeah, I don't have any super formed opinions. And it's going to be a hell of a day on Twitter, though.
Wait, I have a quick question for you. Mm-hmm. Now, do you think, obviously U.S. Soccer could have been like, hey, air this to stay. But also now that basically after this summer, I believe, all of the U.S. broadcasting goes to Turner.
That'll be interesting, right?
Because I think it would agree more if like those rights were still up for like potential buying between all the big broadcast companies. But now that U.S. Soccer chose Turner, and also if I'm remembering correctly, I think there's something weird going on with like potentially after this match, or I don't know if it's October or November, but like also all the things go to Fox as well. Because yeah, everything is technically Fox, like pre-World Cup.
World Cup year, yeah. Potentially, but I don't know. I guess that's a fair question. And you have more of a mind for that that information than I do. So potentially. But I still think they have some pull. I think there's still people in WOSU who are attached to that network. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah,
of course. I'm saying there's like definitely chances happening. I just wonder, like, especially with the timing, if it was like a thing of U.S. soccer wants it, or like, is this potentially the last U.S. women's national team game on ESPN for the foreseeable future? Yeah. I don't know if someone could check that, but like, I don't know if they released. I think I definitely know that those Germany broadcasts are going to be on, at least one of them is going to be on Fox. So,
That's how it is now, right? It gets split between Fox and ESPN. I don't know. I also don't always have the full trust. I think ESPN has some great journalists left. I think a lot of them are in print. I do see Lisa Salters is in this. She's one of the few that's still on camera. Do they even do sports reporters anymore? Sorry.
They do.
Okay, they do.
ESPN secretly has like 85 networks as well.
Yeah, they have the ACC network. The Ocho. I just think of the Ocho from basketball.
Pac-12, all the things.
Because they own SEC, they own all those networks. It'll be interesting. I don't expect the league or the Fed to come out looking super pristine in either case.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering about the E60 thing though, because with it being with E60, that is like their, and the way ESPN operates, I got a lot of beef with how they operate in a lot of areas. And journalism is a big one for me. But they do seem to kind of put some of their stuff on E60, is still allowed to do some of that stuff. Mm-hmm. And where it may not be the best thing for some of their partners as well, who they have. So, but that doesn't necessarily mean that I'm expecting, this to be, something that U.S. soccer is going to 100% hate, or that they couldn't say like, hey, how about y'all push that back another month or something like that. So, yeah, it is. I definitely get that point, and it's going to be interesting to see what actually is like the content of it, what is said in those interviews. And Sills, I think you're absolutely right. Like, I definitely want them to, like, U.S. soccer to not be able to say like, oh, that was the NWSL, because I think they've definitely tried a number of times to distance themselves. And it's like, nah, y'all were on y'all. This was y'all. And so I'm wondering if that's how they're going to approach it, depending on what comes out. Sky, your thoughts.
So I think it's interesting that the report. So when did they give a date that the Sally Yates report is coming out, or are they just saying
they said early in October?
They just said early October. So I'm guessing that's any time before the 15th.
Okay. So it's funny because October 4th is the documentary. It clearly was pushed back.
Yeah.
I'm assuming with the nature of how ESPN 60 documentaries go, it's probably legal ramifications and stuff. And then if you look at the trailer, there's new people appearing in there that weren't in the original trailer. So
okay.
I think that's where I think we don't know what the heck to expect. And I don't know, even if people would have seen it, there might be new stuff, because you see Alex Morgan's in there. They got the picture of Kristen. They have a flash of Kristen Press. Did they talk to her? We don't know.
Was Simone in the first?
Simone one. Was in the first one, yes. Yeah. But there, it's clear that they added pieces. Yeah, so it's the question of then, did U.S. soccer get to screen it? And so then that's the wild card. Because if it's stuff that they saw the first one, they were like, okay, we need to prepare because we know it's coming out. And then, oops, surprise, you know, we added stuff because we needed to go get more interviews or something. Then, yeah, there's no telling. You know, even with the Sally Yates thing, for what may or may not be in it, I do expect, as they're on Twitter, where some documents dropped, and I guess we're going to get into that too, that other stuff will get put in the air, will get aired out. You know what I'm saying? So for what could or may not get reported, I think it's going to be a mess anyway, because all the laundry coming out, you know, there might be more stories, more articles, more everything. So it's going to be a hot mess. All hell about to break loose. The poop going to hit the fan. It's going
to
be a mess.
I think what'll be like really interesting to me about the E60 doc is how does it end? That's kind of what I'm going to be interested in, because if they want to tell a nice, tidy story about how women's soccer had these problems, and they wrap up with, you know, the record attendance in San Diego, and they wrap up with all like on the bright spots, then I'm going to be like, all right, that, and that's what I'm kind of worried about, like with them adding new folks and like adding content, if they want to try and like close the loop a little bit and act like with the end of the investigation, everything, like everything's good now. Mm-hmm. And that's what kind of concerns me. So I'm like really interested to see where they leave it.
I mean, I'm not concerned like that, because actually with E60 docs, they're kind of like harsh. They can.
Well,
like,
they're meant leave. To be.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. But I don't think they're going to make an exception for the NWSL. So I don't think it's going to be,
it'd
be full...
for U.S. soccer is what I'm kind of like we're like that part. Yeah, of it. It would be more for U.S. soccer than NWSL. And that's what I'm concerned about as well.
Did somebody else needs to drop the documentary of the untold story of the USSF and then flame that thing into the ground? But that's another story.
I mean, we've been waiting.
Courtney?
Wait. Yeah, Courtney, what are your thoughts on everything coming out and also the games that are being played as well?
Two things. I was trying to see if there was a link between when that Turner deal was announced and when they decided to push back the documentary. There's not. they announced the Turner deal in March, and they decided to they said day of that they were going to push back an ESPN spokesperson tells the Inquirer that the broadcast was delayed to allow for additional production and reporting time. I don't know. The only thing I can kind of think of with this is like, because when did they announce? Like, I don't know. I wonder, I'm trying to think back to what happened July 25th, 2022 of like, or like what would cause ESPN to need to like have additional reporting for that from that date. Like, off the top of my head, I can't really think of any big revelations that happened. So it's either like, and now that I work in broadcast television, it's like I think of one of two things might have happened. One, they ended up getting access to someone or player or documents that they maybe did not previously have access to. And that like caused, you know, a need for more reporting and all that stuff. Because also by that point, we had already known about equal pay, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, I'm almost positive. Yeah.
So, yeah, I think I do agree. I think U.S. soccer is very much going to be like, this is the NWSL. This is not us, which we all know is not accurate. And yeah, I think it's also going to be like whatever ends up coming out of that documentary. And it's tough because I don't remember a lot of E60 docs. When I think of docs in ESPN, I honestly just think of 30 for 30. So I can't remember like a lot of stuff that they did besides recently doing that video on Trinity Rodman, but I don't know if that was officially E36 or E60.
They did.
No, I've seen several.
Like, I think that was SportsCenter featured actually.
Golly, what's his name? The Hawaii quarterback that ended up.
Manny Teo?
Oh, no. Colt Brennan. Mm-hmm. And then, which was just sad. And then there was one athlete who survived his attempted suicide. He's a baseball player. So they do a lot of different things. Sometimes it's deeply like investigatory in terms of crime and things like that, which is the tenor of this one, obviously. But they go really in depth from what I've seen.
And they interview everybody.
And the interviews that they look like they have lined up for are gonna, I mean, with the exceptions of people I'm not necessarily excited to hear from. Yeah.
But yeah,
it's an interesting mix of players and stuff.
Yeah. So the way I think about it is I do think some stuff is going to come to light that we may or may not have heard of, or even just like more damning details, mm-hmm. like things we may or may not have thought of happened, but like now we actually have confirmation of it.
Yeah.
Do I think it'll probably go as hard as I want it to? No. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of hard to do that unless the people you're talking to are like very open about it. Like, yeah. I don't know. I think of the documentary we did on Bryce Curry, and she was so open of talking about her life, and especially like stuff with Hope Solo and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So I think, I think so.
She's also free to do that. Like, she's long removed from the politics of the national team and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And also it's just like kind of the person she is too. And so I don't know. I think some stuff is going to come to light. I don't think it'll go as hard as we want it to.
No,
I do think it'll be an interesting foil to the games that the U.S. will play. Not as much England. I think England is just going to be England. But especially if they do end up playing Spain, mm-hmm. I think when we're talking about like, it's funny. I saw a tweet that I did. I mean, I quote tweeted it, but I was changing the subject. But like the fact that these 15 players for Spain were talking about, you know, toxic work environments and, you know, not feeling comfortable dealing with mental health issues. Mm-hmm. That's going to be a really interesting foil of them on the national team when we know that the national team environment can be tough. But also with that, thinking about also what's happening in the Primera División
mm-hmm.
in Spain as well. And how, I can't remember exactly what the most recent update has been, because there's been stuff coming out about it. And it's just like a disaster, especially with, you know, referees wanting proper pay, which is like, hello, NWSL.
Right.
But I think it's going to be an interesting foil when we talk about things that everyone should have, which is, you know, like safe work environments. That was really my end.
The cynic in me doesn't think anything soccer related is going to go hard until we get this World Cup done, because it's people's money. There's a lot of money tied into a World Cup that we don't have to qualify for, by the way. I'm talking about the men's 2026. And I'm privy to some of what's coming and all the money that's trying to get into the soccer space before 2026. Nobody's messing up that money. That's the cynic in me.
I think that's fair.
I mean, that's fair to a point, but there's some stuff that you're going to have to deal with it. And I don't know if you can keep it in the box that long, because it then too is intersecting and messing up the money. And could dismantle a league. is going to impact your federation. But on the flip side, like, there's toxic stuff. Like, and again, even if they want to try to keep it out, no telling what is going to pop out if it's reported or not when this report drops. Like, literally the report in this documentary, well, more so the report, is going to open the floodgates of all kinds of shit. So even if they were going to try to hide it, stuff's going to drop if people didn't talk.
I think there's a difference between stuff coming out and what will actually be done about it. I think what I will say is I feel like there's probably a few people toward the top of U.S. soccer who are probably starting to pack their stuff right now, because they're going to have tire marks from the mountain buses that are about to roll over them. They're going to sacrifice one or two people, but I just, the machine's too great. And I think they've worked in toxicity for 20, 30 years. Like, they don't care. They don't care. They don't care. There's still lawsuits pending and they have no money. They have no money. And so whatever they feel they need to do to get to the money, and all of the money is tied to 2026, they're basically pulling a mini Barca and just kicking the can down the line till 2026.
Not pulling levers.
No. We have not got to the lever phase of the program. I mean, the 14th lever was Shakira's taxes, right? they didn't get those, so hey.
Gerard gave him the okay.
Really?
No, he said, I'm taking these Grammys hostage.
We can melt them down. We can melt them down and get our money in return.
Okay. She won. She won. And that's all that matters.
She did win.
Them hips did not lie.
Good for her.
Oh, God. Courtney.
Courtney. And I don't know. I guess, again, I'm more in a space where I trust no one's fit. Like, I I don't trust any Fed. So I think we can get that information, and that Fed is perfectly comfortable existing in the toxicity, because that's what they've been doing. The hopeful, optimistic part of me that is still deep down somewhere in my body, yeah, hopes that this is a bombshell and that shit changes. But I've seen too much, and I love the low-so community, but also, good God.
I will say this. If the shit is super duper bad, though, then the issue is what happens when sponsors yank the plug that were the
that
money.
That would be the one thing.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's what would end up the one creating change.
Yeah.
It's because they're going to be like, oh, no.
Yeah, like Volkswagen's going to be like, Volkswagen's going to give me the VWs off that chest, you know.
Yeah, and then we'll be like, hey, remember when you lied about your emissions?
Yeah.
There's a whole Netflix documentary.
What are you doing? Stop giving information.
I watched that documentary.
They resolved that.
Didn't he catch the dude because
he tried to go on vacation in Florida and they were like, oh, like, so what's up, homie?
No, I'm just saying it's funny that it's like VW would be like, we're taking our money back. And it's like, girl, have you seen when you've been in the news recently?
Have you looked in the mirror?
Damn. Okay, so fine then. Bio's still going to take their money back. There we go.
There you go. Yeah, you know, I was trying to think like what is like some tangible things that I want to see happen from this. And it's tough because I'm with Sils. Like, I don't know if I'm going to it's going to drop. The doc is going to drop. The report's going to drop and people going to have to like make moves. Like, people have to get out or whatever. Like, they're going to have to restructure things. Like, I unfortunately don't see that happening. And that's like, it's frustrating to think about that, but if we could just get Arnhem out the paint in Chicago,
that part,
if we could just get, if that just cause what happened there? Like it still blows my mind. They let that man coach in the championship game. And the next day we're like, okay, he gone.
No, because the statement they put out.
Yeah.
About his leaving.
Yeah.
Was just that. Like, wow. And then you knew, then you figured out what was actually happening. You're like, mm-hmm. brazen. And I would be remiss. I think it would potentially get Arnhem out the paint. The hell are we going to do about Portland?
Yeah, that's the big.
Like, that's the big thing. I don't believe anything until Merritt Paulson's out the paint.
Correct.
Get them both out the paint.
And that's what
I
really like.
I think it's going to be, I don't see a road right now with Merritt Paulson because he doesn't care.
Yeah.
And he has so much money and he's got teams in both leagues.
And that's the thing. It's such a weird dynamic to me though, because he has always been able to pull his weight around in the NWSL because he had so much money. And, you know, that's why they have so many, you know, tournaments and everything in Portland, just have it in Portland because he props things up, right? He has the facilities, he has the funds to do that. It's not necessarily the case anymore. You got a lot of really wealthy owners.
That is one good thing about Angel City.
Exactly. Angel City is taking that away. I think Kansas City's taking that away.
Kansas City has a lot of money, people. I just want y'all to know that.
Okay. Yeah, Kansas City got a lot.
They got money.
I think it depends on how Michelle Yang's going to do this, but I think she can bring in some more money as well. Yeah. So, like, he's not going to have the power that he once had within the league, and that's what's going to be interesting. I think that more than anything is either what starts to turn things against him behind the scenes or like, but I don't think it's going to be this. And that's what's unfortunate because we know the people who have been culpable, like that little bullshit report they released, that investigation.
Oh, and then they hired the black woman. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Then they hired the black woman.
You know how that goes. All
right. Yeah. Yeah. Right. So yeah, like I'm nervous about it. The one thing I do think, like, I think about the players. It's almost like I can't figure out if it's going to be good or bad. They're going to be out of the country.
Right.
I think it's just, I feel for them. I don't know if like international journos are going to like ask the questions. And I don't know if that's good or bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I don't necessarily think they'll get U.S. questions. There might be some U.S. There'll definitely be some
U.S. on
that's
the,
a
on
big
the
game. I think U.S. journals will go, and I think it's a big enough story that it'll come up. But I think regardless the weight of that, like, that's not something I want players who listen. This is the biggest, with all due respect to the W and qualifying, this is the biggest game they will play in a national team jersey, and so Like, it's sold out. It's Wembley. It's the reigning European champions. Like, it's already a lot. And that team looks different, right? You have some vets, but, like, yeah. So, I don't know. I'll try hope later. Maybe by the time everything drops, I'll be in the hopeful part.
That might be the episode title. I'll try hope later. that just might be it. All right, before we get into Heated and Hype, does anybody have anything else they wanted to say on this? We are definitely going to have more to talk about it once everything drops. Yeah. I know that. We'll probably have to do another crossover episode to sift through everything that we see and everything that we read and everything that we hear. So it's definitely not over. We're going to talk about it more, but we just kind of wanted to, like, set expectations, kind of let people know where we're at, our experiences, just, you know, being Black and living on life and being in this soccer thing, like where we're at on this. So anybody have anything before we move on?
I said this on Twitter earlier this week. Listen, the bad guys are the bad guys, right? Like, I didn't do harm directly. You all didn't, others didn't. And we've all come to this sport or in this space at various times, even though we've watched the sport. But also, we're going to have to learn how to apologize.
Come on now.
We're going to have to learn how to apologize. And it's going to be big name players, and it's going to be role players, it's going to be staff members, it's going to be former coaches, it's going to be all sorts of people.
Media members,
like, we were, and I'm saying the collective we, even though I wasn't there, but I will take it, because I will model the behavior. We're going to owe some people some apologies, and sometimes it's going to be people that you've decided you don't like.
Yeah.
Say sorry anyway. And just say sorry. I don't need an explanation. I don't need anything. We have hurt people. We have not believed people who have been abused.
Come on now.
Mm-hmm.
Learn to say sorry. Get over your damn selves.
Yeah.
That's it.
Well, yes.
Agreed.
Did she say yes to me?
Well,
wow.
She sure did. Doing a shout.
That's,
you got anything else?
That Sylve's going in.
Yes.
Synergy.
That's what I'm talking about. Look at that. We did it.
And that's a life skill, by the way. You should learn how to apologize because you're an adult. Facts.
A lot of people don't know how to apologize,
and
right?
And that's
what is this? I'm sorry if
world.
I've offended anybody and all
right.
of that. Like, what?
No, I'm sorry.
I'm a victim of cancel culture.
Up.
Like, get out of my face. Okay.
Yes, it's literally right. It's so easy. I'm sorry for the harm I caused.
Yes, that's
all you need.
Yeah, that's all you need. You can see that last part of it, even if you're not true. Keep that shit to yourself.
And if you had been doing your reading since 2020, that's an Ijeoma Oluu's, so you want to talk about race book, and she talks about apologizing. So I'm going to assume you all read it, because you said you read the book.
I was like, and literally everyone was reading that book.
Yep.
That book in particular. It was all up on the
side. You should know why you should know why we apologize, because she told you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Scott, you got anything?
No, I don't have nothing.
Okay.
The Reverend Sylvia.
Please, no.
Rev, Courtney, you got anything?
I'm good.
All right. Let's move on to Heated and Hyped. We're going to try and hit these quick because we're going to do the part two of the crossover pod. So make sure you go listen to Shea Butter FC once you are done with this. Let's dive right in. Courtney, it's got you heated.
A few things got me heated. First, fall. I know everyone loves fall. Fall is
so
my...
Very aggressive.
Fall, this is going to surprise people. Fall is my either third favorite or second least favorite season of the year. Because, and I'll tell you why. No, it's not. I'll tell you why. It feels... like spring. It's like, oh, it's technically it's cooling down, seems like nice weather, but then all of a sudden you leave your job and it's dark outside. That is why I beef with fall. The sun has already started going down before 7 p.m. It is the beginning of the dark times, literally and figuratively. I call myself a sunflower because literally when it's sunny and warm outside, I'm like, even though I'm always come on this podcast tired, but that's low-key not my fault. Me and my job. I like literally my saving grace during like working all these crazy hours thinking like W championship through all these shows is that at least when I'm done for the day, I can go outside and it is still light outside. But instead, it's dark. And also, even though my allergies peak year round, my allergies peak the worst during fall. I've been out here fighting for my life in the past few weeks. Literally with the leaves changing, all things. I do like fall. It's just what really gets me more than anything is the time change, and it starts getting dark earlier, and it's not as bright when I wake up in the morning, and it's a specific pain to me. So that's what I'm heated about. I'm also heated about the lack of reading comprehension throughout the United States in through some of the school systems. About this in the next part of the crossover, because I know we didn't really mention it earlier in this episode. We know what happened at San Diego in their home opener at Snapdragon.
Yes, you're correct.
Yes. That sounds wrong.
The flower.
I thought it was honestly a mythical creature. I said, what is a Snapdragon? We've heard.
Oh, there is one. I'll send you a picture.
But the reason why I'm mad lack of reading comprehension is because I tweeted, San Diego needs to put out an official statement. Also, tweets are not official statements. I don't know why that's a new trend. It's not true. Tweets are not official statements. Either send something out or put something up on your website. That is an official statement, not a tweet. Tweets are not official statements. We literally, with the Washington Spirit, we went on and on and on about how they messed up so bad by sending an 11-word tweet and not having an official statement. Same thing applies. Just because it's your team, you can't hop in my mentions saying things that I did not put specifically in the tweet. And then go, oh, sorry, other fans are saying that. Okay, well, Bessie, I'm not a fan, first of all. I am not a fan. I'm a journalist. And it's very fair to be like, hey, you need to put out an official statement. And also, we are in the year 2022. If you want to go and lead all things NWSL, having the biggest, you know, having the biggest NWSL crowd, all of these things, having great facilities, all that stuff, guess what? You also need to be able to quickly respond to events. Anytime there is something racist that happens in the Premier League, in the Champions League, teams are putting out statements like literally, if not 2 hours later, the next morning at the latest. At the latest. Is it partially because they probably have all the systems in place to be able to do that? Yes. But even if the NWSL needs to look over every single statement that is like put out by a team or something like that, I don't know if that happened. But if, let's say that is the case, if that is not immediately hopping up to the top of your bucket list of things that we need to get out right now and review and get out right now, your priorities are messed up. And so I'm mad about that. I'm mad about the lack of reading comprehension, because as soon as someone would say that bullshit to me, I would respond to them saying, that's not what I said. And they go, oh, I know. And I said, then why did you respond that way? Make it make sense. Get some reading comprehension. Go look up phonics. Do better. That's what I'm heated about.
Yeah, that happens so much on Twitter. It's so annoying.
By the same group of fans, and I'm like, get some reading comprehension.
Yeah, it's really. Let's
learn how to read.
Have something. I'm like, you got your own timeline. You can talk. Like, you don't have to come to me if you got something on your mind. Say it. Like, you don't need to hop in my replies and say something that I didn't even say. Scott.
I have one more thing. Because I also have to give out a shout out to friend of the pod, our first friend of the pod, Kaya.
Indeed.
Who tweeted, before you comment on my page, please get the point. That is exactly how I feel. Before you come in my mentions, get the point. Get some reading comprehension. If you don't understand, ask a friend and then come comment on my page. That's what I'm worried about.
All right, Reverend.
There it we go.
I was mad.
Maybe
all day.
I should have been like, Courtney's going in. Sky, what's got you heated?
Well, we'll talk about it on the next episode. But there is an affliction that is falling upon California drivers. And so today was a new level where somebody stopped three crosswalks before the actual crosswalk the biker was in to stop for the biker to bike across the crosswalk. For the love of God, if you don't stop by the crosswalk, that is a particular crosswalk. So I was taken aback because I was like, why is the lady waving at me? And like the dude on the bike, he was like, what the heck? And so he was like, yo, it's just crazy. Then she drove past me like, why you didn't wait? He was in the crosswalk. That is all the way over on the other side. But this bad driving post-pandemic, we're still in the pandemic, but you got to go to work. Like, please do better. I'm tired of playing Mario Go-Kart each day to go to work and coming from work. So I'm done.
As I call it, driving in New York City is like playing Tetris live with your life.
What the fuck? It is though, because y'all be like, yo, it's red. I'm just going to go through it. Like, no.
I was like, y'all are playing Mario Kart. We're playing Tetris. Dangerous.
Sylves, you're heated.
I think same as Sky. We have another episode, and so some of that's going to come from there. Indirect communication. I wish I would say some of the things y'all think when you see me in person.
Come on now, preacher!
When you have an opportunity.
Ooh. Yeah, like, be grown.
I really do. And that's not just about one person.
That's multiple.
Sincerely, one, I don't need you to like me. It's fine. I have very good friends. I have a mother and father who love me dearly. I'm good. Like, I'm good. That's not why I'm here. I'm here to try to change something for the better. And I saw a need. And so it was a fuck it, I'll do it, which is a battle cry of Black women, honestly. But like, yeah, I don't like that behavior. Like, I don't like that behavior. And like, I feel like I'm pretty empathetic and understanding and all of that stuff, but I need you to know I delete more tweets than I send out.
Yes.
I am a deeply assholeish human being. So, yeah, I would just, you can come to me. My DMs are open. Some of you know my email address. I'm in the media association and you see me in person. I'm in the same press box as you. I'm at the same games as you. You can come to me. We're adults. That's it. We don't have to like each other at the end. I would just like to have a conversation. That's it.
I was going to say, we know everything, by the way.
Woo! Okay, that was my other one. I need you all to understand, and I'll speak for our podcast. The reason Sky and I are here is not for access.
Not at all.
And we need to exist to help create change, right? And it's not us alone. It's never us alone. And quite frankly, we have incredibly talented young people on our team, and I'll be damned if I'm dropping this to screw them over, right? Because y'all ain't gonna help them, save for the very few of you who know who you are. But I need you to know, I know everything, and if you think it's you, you are the hit dog hollering, because it is. we have receipts. Have no idea what we know, and it's because they don't trust you all to tell you. I need you to know that. I know. It's not my story to tell, but I know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not for one person either. That's a lot of y'all. And I know what you say about us too. It's not fine. It's not okay. It's not okay. But it's not about us. But I just need you to know that we know. That's it.
Okay, Reverend.
Absolutely feel
Deacon.
That.
Deacon!
Guy's just going to start shouting every position in the church.
Trustee. Come on, Trustee.
Okay, trustee. Okay, trustee. Andre, it's your turn, sir.
I'm a
soloist.
Oh, man.
I'm not allowed to make Mario game sounds.
No, you're not, because that messed last episode.
I got yelled at. Sorry.
Andre, what's your heated?
My heated. I'm going to keep it quick because there's definitely going to be more to come out about it. And we'll probably be talking about it in depth for a while. But the Spanish Federation, their response to the emails that they received from 15 players who talked about having concerns with the current coach, Jorge Vilda, about concerns about their health, about their emotional state when they're in the camps. And their response to that was to basically tell them that they need to apologize. They're not welcome back on the national team, and treated it as them trying to enact some sort of mutiny or as if it was a power play when these are legitimate concerns. And it's also not like, and I'm not, again, we're going to get into all this later, but it also ain't like this is not a federation that has also upheld abusers before. So this is a thing. It is a thing. And for them to continue to act like it's not a thing and to try to put it back on the players just made me really upset with that response. It almost, and it's like what everybody does nowadays to try to like avoid accountability is, you know, cry cancel culture. And that whole statement was like, we're being canceled by our own players and they need to apologize, as opposed to looking at what the players are actually saying, what they're actually concerned about, because these are legitimate concerns they have. And there is no reason to, well, aside from nepotism, to yeah. keep the coach in place. And that's the only reason they're doing it. And so that whole situation really annoys me, because nobody deserves to go through all of that. And that, you know, the Spanish team altogether, you know, it's just, it's frustrating. So like that to me is my heated and going to be my heated for a while, because it doesn't seem like that federation has, I mean, somebody said it to me in my replies, like, is Carlos Cordero over there? Like, that's basically what it came from.
I was
going
to ask if they're trying to do a shit off with the French Federation, honestly.
Right? There's that too. Like, yeah, there's just so much going on. So like, we'll get into that deeper. We'll talk about that a bit more. But
wait, I just want to quickly say, for those who don't know, Jorge Vilda is a son of Angel Vilda, yes. who's currently the head of the women's department at the Spanish Federation.
So he chose his son over the players, which shocking.
Like, just in case you don't know, that's what Andre meant by nepotism.
His daddy said you can keep your job. It's pretty much what happened there.
Not, he's not good at it, but yeah. Well, I was going to say, I could go into more, because that's the other thing. Like, even if the players love the coach, you got enough reason to let that dude go. He can't do the job. That team should be winning World Cups. Should be. But to me, like, with the players come out and saying what they're saying, like, it's not even about performance. Like, even if they're playing great, if they're winning every game 7-0, like, it's not about that. It's about the players and the environment that's created. And that's what is frustrating, that they're ignoring and allowing to happen. So I'm going to transition this on, because there's always a tough way to, like, transition from going heated straight into hype stuff. So, you know, I'm just going to talk enough until y'all forget, and then we're going to move on.
I can transition us if you want me to.
Nah, because I gotta get mine out. I gotta get mine out. So I gotta talk about what my hype is, and then we're gonna go down the line. But my hype is the antithesis of Courtney's fall. I love fall, especially the more this planet cooks, because people know how to act. We drill in oil, all that business. Like the heat. I can't, like, I used to love summer. I can't do it anymore. Especially with the humidity. I step outside and I'm sweating. Like, it's rough. I can't do it. I used to be active, like, to do stuff outside. I don't. I want to just be inside. I want to sit down. I don't like sweating. It's not fun. I don't like it. So, like,
even up there, you tall. Sorry.
Stop it. Stop it. But yeah, it is. I don't like it. So I like when the temperature breaks. Like, I was like, seriously, I woke up today and I looked at the whole, like, the rest of the week, and I saw the highs are like mid 70s. You know, low 70s. Oh, I was hype. I'm so hype. I went out today for two dose walks, because I just like being out. It's crispy. I like being outside. It feels good. It's hoodie season. I got on a hoodie right now. I can bust out the hoodie collection. I love rocking hoodies. Like, I am here for fall. It ain't about pumpkin spice, nothing. It's about just the fact that I can go outside and walk around and not sweat my ass off. And maybe that's because I need to get into better shape. But until then, I'm rocking with fall. So that's how it is. Sills, what's your hype?
So obviously we're doing this crossover, a week or so after the Emmys. So I just wanted to shout out Shirley Ralph, a.k.a. Dina from Dreamgirls, a.k.a. Dee, who put up with Frank and Moesha, a.k.a. Rita's mama, who apparently did make it singing her shoulda, coulda, wouldas. after a very long time in the industry, won her Emmy, gave an amazing speech. And it's in part because Quinta Brunson promised her that she would get her an Emmy. And I just think the journey, I'm looking at Issa and Quinta in particular, and just how they've gone about it, how they've never really forgotten who they are. They've done it the right way, how they've uplifted Black women and non-binary people, just... and have been wildly successful. Like, I've been with both of them from the beginning. And so it's just, I feel proud, and it gives me hope in the work that we're doing, like, that there is a way to do this and keep yourself. So yeah, I just wanted to shout that out.
Yes, I love that. And watch Abbott Elementary.
Oh, please. It's so good.
Yeah. It is so good. Shout out to Shirley Ralph's acceptance speech as well.
It was so good. Indeed.
Sky, you're hype. I'm hype about this too, by the way.
So I'm hype because as originally a New York Liberty fan, then San Antonio Silver Stars fan.
Come back now, to the Libs.
Okay.
Come back. All right, to Libs pause. Flat. Stop.
You forgot there was a Liberty
and
fan.
And now the Las Vegas Aces champion Aces. Shout out Asia Wilson. Shout out champion. To all the people.
I'm so happy for Asia.
Shout out to all the people. Shout out to the Jackie Youngs, Kelsey Plum, De'Erica Hambry. I'm not listening to everybody. All y'all. Also, shout out to Rebecca Lynn Hammett. Mm. One of my favorite players ever. I've been watching her. She finally got a chance. She's been to several finals and then went one because she, for levels.
Dynasties.
Yeah, running the dynasties. But finally got one as a coach first year. So I've been hyped. Mm. I was emotional, allegedly. The day they won.
Listen, I did not record because we respect privacy. Literally the most emotional I've ever seen Sky.
Yes, I was crying. I was lit.
Yeah, there were tears. Like, she was, that's her player that, like, she really does love for you. For the people that don't know, she genuinely, Becky Hammon is one of her favorite athletes ever.
Because she's my same height, because she's 5'6". WNBA WNBA height. Like me and Courtney. So, okay. Yeah.
But yeah, shout
I'm
out to that.
I'm 5'6", according to Women Kickball's Jackie.
You were not 5'6". You were 5'10".
You were definitely not 5'6". That's a lot.
Look, I said, Nubia, come stand next to me. And then I said, Jackie, how tall am I? And she goes, Nubia, how tall are you? And Nubia says, 5'4". And she goes, 5'6"?
No, not at all.
And then I tweeted it immediately because I cackled.
I've seen that photo. It's definitely not.
Becky Hammon's 5'6". She's a WNBA player. So therefore, you are too. That is why my name is my name.
But yeah, shout out to... listen, the Aces in general, who know how to have a very good time, but in particular, Asia Wilson's press conference plus.
Yes.
Oh my god!
It was gym. This is my thing.
This is amazing. We need more.
Six bottles deep. More.
She this is not. Thing. She's a little bit of a lightweight. I feel like that was left very quick.
100%.
No, she said she was 6 bottles deep of champagne.
Yeah, she said 6 bottles of champagne. I was like, okay.
And Chelsea was like, I told you not to drink that.
Like she mom. Was so serious too. Yeah, I think like in celebrations, post games, and everything, you can tell if the right team won. The right team won.
It gave me.
Perfect.
It might have been better than 2019 World Cup. I was like so that because they weren't sober for 2 weeks. That was amazing. I want that for them. I think if they didn't have to go overseas and play in FIBA.
Yeah. The championship. They were even crazier the next day. The parade. It was off the chain.
Yeah. They had to end the broadcast.
I know
there was a tweet in the AM while the sun was rising on the West Coast that asked where are the Four Locos at.
Four Loko said, I've been swimming.
What did Four Loko say?
No, Four Loko responded to that tweet saying, I've been summoned.
Yes.
It was a very funny interaction.
Shout out to whoever admin is that early in the morning for Four Loko. I feel like you shouldn't be.
To be fair, it's Four Loko. You probably never go to sleep.
That's actually more true. Woo! All right, Courtney, close us out. You're hyped.
Yes. One quick clarification. I meant to say Jorge Vilda's dad was head of the national team when he came in. He's not currently head. They have a different bosses, but he's still like an influential person around the federation. But he's not currently his boss. So I meant to clarify that when Vilda came over. I mean, he put him at U19s, but it was like, did he kind of go there because of nepotism? And now things have changed, but it's like it started on nepotism and his dad is still an influential person, but it's not like his dad is actually his boss. Mm-hmm. So I had to clear that up. What I'm excited about, I know Andre said no pumpkin spice. I'm not actually excited about pumpkin spice. I am excited about pumpkin pancakes.
Pumpkin spice is nasty. Sorry, go ahead.
No, but pumpkin pancakes are delicious. I had some really good ones the last time I was out in Seattle, and I've been on the hunt because sweet pumpkin pancakes are like a very delicious thing. Also, I was very hyped about the pumpkin cookie Meg Linehan brought me from Seattle. When I just literally tweeted her out of the middle of nowhere, and she actually brought me a pumpkin cookie. I ate it yesterday in genuinely 7 minutes, and it was as perfect as it was the first time I had it. I'm also hyped about Lauren James. Chelsea is number 10. Besides the fact that she moves just like Reece James, which is kind of hilarious to me because I move nothing like my siblings and we're all soccer players. Yes, we play different positions, but like genuinely none of us move in the same way. Like not even close. Like Reece and Lauren are like literally twins in terms of their movement. If they're dribbling on the ball, like when she was like trying to size up people, I was like, y'all got some real similar body movements.
Their dad was on it, man. He coached them all. They have a brother too. He coached them all.
But I'm just hype about her getting back in full fitness. We know she had a really long lingering issue from being at Manchester United. Well, them not treating her body, like that injury. Anyway, I'm not going to say that because we have a Manchester United fan on this podcast.
I'm not a Manchester United fan.
Why would you do it, Courtney? Why?
Yeah, she is. Objectively, because I cannot be stopped.
You're not.
Silves, you should have known I cannot be stopped. But yes, I'm super excited about Lauren James getting back because she's going to. She says, "You want to defend me? Joke's on you." The way she was just wiggling around players, it was a beautiful thing to watch. So I'm very excited to watch her.
She's a great 1v1 player, and I do think we've unlocked her. I would love for Emma to push her up a little further. She was dropping back a little deep there for a while. One of many issues that was happening in that match.
That could have been my heated because I do not understand how you Pernilla Harder gets an injury in warm-up. Okay, cool. You got to reshuffle. The hell you bringing on Sophie Ingle for? Like, just put Lauren James in that position that Pernilla Harder was going to play. What's the problem?
Very confusing.
I ain't gonna go. I have several thoughts on that.
Hey, y'all are emotional.
Jesse Fleming's back. Jesse's back though. Jesse is back.
Thank God.
Yeah. Well, all Mitchell's. I'm saying is, I mean, technically we lost the first game of last season and still won our third consecutive title. So
we did.
Yeah, because Jonas was messing up. Okay.
Who says he's not going to continue?
I know, right? You act like
objectively. Ajax 2-2 Champions League.
Hey. Oh, please no! Please no! Y'all better beat Ajax, because if you don't,
oh man,
I don't care what happens in the WSL.
Right,
I'm going to be insufferable. I'm letting you know right now, I'm going to be insufferable.
Like I said, this is a life. I'm going to leave y'all with a life lesson because I tweeted this, but I want people to know when I woke up and I saw that Manchester City got wrecked by Aston Villa and at 4-3, I kept my mouth shut because I was like, you know what? I don't feel great about this game. And who knows, like if Liverpool happens to draw or something, you know, it's going to be bad. So I didn't talk my shit. And I should have talked my shit because then I could have at least had a couple of hours where I was cackling, kicking my feet and having a good time. Instead, I tried to be cool and chill it. So for real, talk your shit when it's time to talk your shit. Whatever happens after that happens and then you take it. But don't be like me. Don't be like me is the life lesson.
That's deep. This is the stuff I go through in a group chat all the time, y'all. I'm just letting you know.
What are you talking about? All we do is roast Sky for saying she's not a Manchester United fan when she's clearly a Manchester
Why
United
are you
fan.
Putting my name like that?
Red Devils.
I'm a Red Devil. I appreciate them from afar.
No, you don't. You appreciate them from up close.
We appreciate Chelsea from afar too.
We are a deep nation.
That's not the biggest lie she tells. The biggest lie she tells is that she's not a Falcons fan.
Why are you putting the business out there? And they better not win no games because we getting the number one pick. There we go.
So there you go. Y'all saw it. It's recorded now. It's on the
allegedly.
Podcast.
You can't put it works.
All right, so y'all thank y'all for listening. Make sure y'all listen to Shea Butter FC to get the rest of this because we're gonna go in on a lot of other conversations that really need to happen, especially because Woso and all soccer everywhere have been wild. And so, anything else to say or just bye.
No, see y'all next time. Well, go to the next slide.
As Thierry Henry likes to say, bye.
Thanks for listening to Diaspora United Podcast. Please subscribe and rate and review us anywhere you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Diaspora United Pod. That's Diaspora UTDPOD. And message us if there's anything you want us to talk about in our next podcast. See you next time.